Will you turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." I have felt that I should take some time and discuss some of the current developments in the light of our own position and where we are, and in the light of the teachings of the Bible. And I have discussed with you the action of the Supreme Court in ruling that the Bible may not be read in the public schools, in the opening exercises, or the Lord's Prayer repeated. I have discussed with you the practical problem as to how we would face it. I'd suggested that one way is to work for an amendment to the Constitution to nullify that decision, and that we should do, but it is a long and difficult road to walk. Because though 80% of the people of the country, according to the Gallup poll, are in favor of it, you have the main leadership of the National Council and these local councils of churches, and the leaders of these denominational social action groups against it. And they have the money, they have the entree, they have the press, they have all of these things at their command as they've been recognized as the religious leaders. And all of that has to be overcome to get through, to get enough people, to get the legislators informed, and it's going to be a job, but I think we should undertake it, and we're going to try it. But now that the atheists and the agnostics and the materialists and the Unitarians and the like have won this decision in having the Bible removed from the public schools, they are taking courage, and we're going to see more things undertaken in that field. And I think that we need to be alert as never before. In fact, I think that the conservatives and the Bible-believing groups are going to have to get more active in a practical way. And we must watch what is happening and what is taking place about. Now, I have a story that appeared in the press, and it was called to my attention by several of you people in this church. It was in the Courier Post of Camden for Saturday, June the 29th, 1963. When I saw it, I knew immediately what was happening and what was taking place. And I feel now that I should devote this message to this matter, and I am going to appeal to you people to do something about it. We are citizens of the state of New Jersey, and here's certain proposed and contemplated action on the part of the state legislature here in the state of New Jersey. But this new legislation, as it's now being prepared by a commission established by the Senate, is to deal with what they call hate literature. I want to read you the entire story as it has appeared, point out what's involved, make certain applications, and then I want to turn to the Bible and show you how I feel the Bible reflects upon this type of thing. Trenton, Senate President Ozzard Friday named Eugene F. Hampson of North Plainfield to a bipartisan state commission created to study group libel law. Hampson is managing editor of the Plainfield Courier News, which with the Courier Post is a member of the Gannett Group. He will represent the New Jersey Press Association. Libel group laws are those dealing with a segment of the people, Negroes, for example, The committee is to make recommendations before the 1963 legislature adjourns. New Jersey has no group libel law. A number of states, particularly in the West and Midwest, have them, according to Senator Stamler, Democrat of Union. Stamler introduced the Senate resolution establishing the commission. The introducer customarily is named chairman of a commission. In addition to Stamler, the Senate members are Minority Leader Grossi, Democrat of Passaic, John A. Lynch, Democrat of Middlesex, Thomas J. Hillary, Republican of Morris. Group libel laws, quote, are aimed at the hate publications that are being distributed, particularly at this time, end of quote, Stamler said. Hate literature was recently passed out at some state colleges, he said. Very often it attacks Jews, President Kennedy, and Catholics. Former President Eisenhower and Protestants have been subjected to hate literature, he said, end of quote. So the senator has taken the initiative in setting up a commission to propose laws that will deal with what he calls hate literature. Now, this whole program of establishing and identifying hate literature is something which has come to the fore in the last few years in the great struggle between the left and the right in our country. And those on the left, and particularly if you want to read the communist literature in this country, they're constantly denouncing the hate literature. They're constantly denouncing what they call the hate mongers. The reactionaries, the counter-revolutionaries, the conservatives are those who are producing hate. And behind the communist approach to this, of course, is the thought that if you oppose communism and its wonderful world of brotherhood that you don't love, then consequently you have hate. And the communists are agitating this so-called anti-hate campaign all over the world. It's simply a strategy of that. But aside from the communist aspect of this development and this attack, we have found that in the church circles where you and I live, that the liberals and the modernists have attacked the fundamentalists as being full of hate and lacking love. And the attack of hate against the fundamentalists went back to the days even of our great struggle, because if we loved our brethren as we should, we wouldn't fight with them in the church over the question of the virgin birth. Our love for them would be so strong that we would just excuse that matter and go ahead, and we would accept this inclusive concept of the church. This whole attack upon what they call hate on the right wing has carried on through these years, and the National Council of Churches, in literature which it has actually published against the American Council, has denounced what it calls its hate literature. And if you are a critic of the National Council of Churches, as we have been, you are lined up among those who are supposed to be the haters here in the country. During the last political campaign, when Kennedy was running for office, and there were those on the right side and the conservative side that had some real convictions about the question of whether it was right or whether it would be in the best interest of the country to have a Roman Catholic as president, those who raised sincere and honest questions in this regard were called haters, and it was a hate-mongering program. And now, as we moved on into the conflict over civil rights and the agitation of the Negro issue at the present time, you still have these epitaphs and these words being thrown at those who don't go along with the program that NAACP is advocating or that some of the Negro groups are in favor of. Hate has become a very useful instrument and weapon, not of debate, but of intimidation. Not for honest discussion of issues that may confront us, but as a way in which you seek to smear or to throw mud at your opponent. Now, when I read an article of this kind in the public press, and we're told that it is against certain literature, hate literature, that this is designed, And we're told that certain literature has been distributed at faith colleges in recent weeks against the Jews, against President Kennedy, against the Catholics, against President Eisenhower, and against the Protestants. You've got a large area here of so-called hate activity and literature here in the state of New Jersey. Now, to bring the matter home to you very specifically, I would like to see some of the samples of literature which this man had in his possession, or which he has seen and which he's talking about. And if you could see some of it, I dare say that he would have a number of copies of the Christian Beacon in his hand. The National Council of Churches, Ralph Lord Roy, in his book, Accusing Us of Being an Apostle of Discord, talks about the hate sheet. And the Christian Century, which is your liberal ecumenical paper, denounces the Christian Beacon as a hate sheet. And yet in all our years of editing the Christian Beacon, nobody to this day has ever threatened to sue us or accused us of any particular specific slander or libel. We have been exceedingly careful in our dealing with these controversial questions in the church field, and we've always presented our facts and we've presented our documents, and we don't even use any stinging adjectives like Time magazine does when they write up their various reports and give them their slant. But nevertheless, the Christian Beacon, which has become a real factor now in the church life, and the Christian Beacon, which is undergirding and sponsoring a 20th century Reformation, our broadcast, is unquestionably, in my mind, a part of the thrust of this attack. And here's an effort now to get some kind of legislation through the state of New Jersey which can be used by these various groups around the country as a weapon to silence or to intimidate or to embarrass or to call into court the Christian Beacon which we edit. And consequently, when I see this developing, the time to hit it and the time to stop it is in the beginning. You resist the beginning. And I think that I should not only speak about it, but I'm going to point out the significance of it. And then if they have any hearings on this matter, not only am I going up to these hearings, but I'm going to try to get everybody I can in the state of all our church groups and our patriotic groups to go up there with us and to help defeat it. We haven't had any of these so-called group libel laws here in the state of New Jersey. We never have had them. And we don't need them now, right now, when you're getting into the conflict that we have between the left and between the right, and we don't want the state legislature to put something in the hands of the left that they can use against the right. And if that situation is developing in the state of New Jersey at the present moment, let's face it and let's hit it hard. Our problem is that we are not able to get our story before the area and before the state. That's our problem. We are having great difficulty. Oh, we can get a few little news items once in a while, maybe some young people's activities we can get out. But when Carl McIntyre issues this statement, as I do repeatedly, the Camden Courier very seldom ever publishes one of them. And we have difficulty in getting our opinion and our viewpoint and our position before the public as we ought to be able to with a free press and in a free society. Nevertheless, I feel that I should use my pulpit, as I'm using it tonight, to speak of these things and to try to reach as many people as I can in the state of New Jersey. But notice, this hate literature attacks the Jews, President Kennedy and Catholics, former President Eisenhower, and Protestants. All right, you start criticizing the Protestants now, and their ecumenical program, and their program for unity, as they call it. They say that you're publishing hate literature. And as this ecumenical church becomes more powerful and they have these great church unions which are just in the offing, here's legislation back here adopted in 1963 in the state of New Jersey which can be used against the fundamentalists who are going to fight this great church union program, and it will be used against them because they're denouncing this Protestant ecumenical cause in a spirit of hate. Now, that's exactly where this thing is going. Now, you're told here, for instance, that there are attacks made upon President Eisenhower and President Kennedy. Beloved, the citizens of this country should be free to say anything they want to say about the President of the United States, so long as it's said respectfully. The citizens of the United States ought to be free to raise any questions they want to raise as it relates to those who are going to govern them, and we are the people who have a right to say the kind of people that we want to rule over us and to represent us. And we've reached a day now when we're going to have what they call group libel laws. And that means that you're not going to be able to get into the civil rights fight. Because if you do, you'll be talking about the Negroes. And everybody's talking about the Negroes today. We even have press reports and saying the Negro leadership and the Negro vote. And President Kennedy's appealing for the Negro vote. And will the Republicans get any of the Negro vote? And we've gotten ourselves so blocked out today in the political world with the Negro vote and the Catholic vote and the labor vote and the Jewish vote. Nobody ever talks about the Protestant vote, but you've got the blocking out of our citizens today in this particular area. And now we're going to have some group libel law, so if you say anything about the Negroes in general that they don't like, they can call you into court, make an accusation against you on the basis of the law, whether it's true or whether it isn't true. It'll be an instrument for harassment, and it will be an instrument to tie you up and become, get yourself involved in a lot of great publicity about the issue, and the whole country will say, well, here's somebody that's full of hate. Now, that's exactly where this thing is going at the present time. Now, I'm going to be very frank with you, and I don't want to be misunderstood, because there's nobody in this country that has any more regard or thinks more highly of all of our citizens. We're all free citizens. We should be treated alike before the law than Carl McIntyre. But I want to say to our Jewish neighbors that they're getting on some very dangerous ground when they move into this group libel area. I want to say that to these men. And yet I know that there are Jewish men and Jewish groups like the Anti-Defamation League and the like that actually think that the Christian Beacon is a hate sheet. But I want to say to these Jewish people about us and around about us that they better respect, and they need to respect, the Christians who have honest convictions concerning the Lord and concerning God. I don't know, but if we get into a debate on this matter now, the commission studying it, here they are, they're all set up, and they're going to bring in some proposals. If they're going to get into a debate and discussion of these things as it relates to the Jews, and Carl McIntyre is the strongest enemy of anti-Semitism you can find anywhere, and I don't want it generated or stimulated in our country at all. And this sermon of mine I preached years ago on why Christians should be kind to the Jews has been circulated by a great many thousands, and I even had the commendation of the rabbi here in Camden at the time. But this is what I'd like to do if we get to this. I'd like to take the Bible up there and just show the senators what the Bible says about these groups that you talk about. And if you're going to get some libel laws against group libel, and the Jewish groups in our country don't like what the Bible has to say about them and their attitude toward Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that the Bible's going to come under the ban of these libel laws. That's what you're going to find. Now, will you turn with me, please, to one or two of these passages? I want to show them to you. They're in the Word of God. They're in the Bible. I read to you tonight the 14th verse of the 2nd chapter of Thessalonians. Now look at this. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. This is over in Greece, in Thessalonica. Paul says, you became followers of the Christians in Judea, who also have suffered like things of your own country, even as they have of the who? Jews. There it is, right there in that passage. Who both killed the Lord Jesus Christ. Who killed him? They say the Jews did. Paul says that. And their own prophets. They've been killing their prophets, he says. And have persecuted us. The Jews were persecuting Paul, he says. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now, beloved, I say it with all graciousness and all gentleness. This is the thing that the Jews don't want anymore. This is why they don't want the Bible in the schools. This is why they're fighting these things. And yet the Apostle Paul is simply reporting what took place. And he says that it was the Jews who killed Christ. That's what he says. And our Jewish people today are so sensitive to that particular statement that you find in the Scripture. Very sensitive to it. And if you're going to have group libel laws, the very first thing that's going to come right out into the public is that the Bible is a book that libels a group of citizens, and we can't have the Bible anymore. And you're facing now a path which is leading down the road to political persecution of those who believe the Bible and believe what the Bible teaches. Now, will you turn with me, please, over to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. This is another one of these passages that the Jews are so sensitive about, and they are especially sensitive about it today. Now, as a Christian, we understand. We understand that the Jews rejected Christ as their Messiah. They rejected him. But we also understand that the love of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we're desirous of winning the Jew to a knowledge of Christ, that he might own his true Messiah and that he might find the gift of everlasting life. The very type of sermon I'm preaching tonight and preaching it on the radio here in this area is the type of thing that they want silenced. It's the type of thing that they don't want to have discussed anymore. And we're moving into what they call a neutral society and a pluralistic society. And you're not going to be able to talk this way because you're going to have group libel laws hanging over your head. And some preacher gets up in the pulpit and begins to preach just like I'm preaching tonight. And he talks about a problem that's been raised. He reads the Bible. And the Jews are spoken of as the Jews, as a group in this particular area. And somebody will file out a complaint against the preacher by the name of McIntyre because he preached on the radio on Sunday night on this subject. And will accuse him of violating the statutes that's been established in the state of New Jersey. That's where we're headed. I see it. I recognize it. And I intend by the grace of God to try to stop it and try to do something about it in our state at the present time. But notice the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. Notice verse 22. We have this whole section in here. And this is one section that is particularly offensive to the unbelieving Jews who do not understand. Verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Then said the Jews. Who's he talking about? Talking about the Pharisees. Talking about the religious leaders. Talking about the members of the Sanhedrin who were opposing Jesus Christ, trying to discredit him. Will he kill himself? And then you have this tremendous discussion all through here, and you come on down without any break whatsoever, and you find Jesus Christ discussing them. And will you turn down, please, to verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him. Isn't that something? There it is. The Jews. And they're spoken of as a group. They're spoken of as a people. And they're spoken directly to by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now this is the type of thing that this proposed legislation in the state of New Jersey is aimed at. And you speak about some group or somebody or the Catholics or the Jews or the Negroes or somebody else, and they have their organizations and they're organizing, as you see it today, for political action on every hand, and they come forward then with their accusation and they're going to stop this kind of slander against them. That's the way they feel about it. And the question as to whether it's truth or whether it's slander or whether it's this or whether it's that becomes a moot discussion, and you have a big debate. You go into the courts, and when you get into the courts, you got your courts stacked with certain judges and certain men who don't understand the Christian position at all. And the first thing you know, you have some penalties put against you, and these penalties then are used to discredit your activity and your ministry and your operation in behalf of some cause that you want to promote in a free country. Furthermore, I'll go even further than that. If this type of legislation is adopted, if we're unable to defeat it in this state, and if we can't reach the people of the state with the recognition that here is an effort being made by this type of legislation to forbid speech, to put intimidation and pressures upon editors not to write what they believe to be the truth, and to impinge upon the freedom of speech and the freedom of expression and the freedom of a press. And I dare say to you tonight that if this type of legislation is passed, it ought to be checked as soon as possible, and we ought to carry it to the Supreme Court and test the legality of it. We're confronted right now with the Supreme Court in the United States, which is very favorable to the freedom of the communists in this country, and we all know the type of decisions that the court's been handling down. Now that we have the attack upon the right wing and the conservatives and the haters and the hate mongers and that type of thing moving into the law and then into the court, it'll be interesting indeed to see how the Supreme Court will deal with this question of the freedom of the press and the freedom of an editor to write editorials about things that concern what's taking place in the building of a one-world church and in the development of this particular religious group. The Constitution guarantees the free exercise of religion, and the Constitution guarantees the freedom of the press and the freedom of speech. And we may have to take some action in this state to test this type of thing. But the time to meet this right now is when those of us who see the pointed nature of it and the larger aspects of the field into which they're moving to rise up and say, wait a minute, we should do what we can to stop it. Now somebody will go home and say, well, Dr. Mankiewicz got off the track tonight. He didn't preach the gospel. No, beloved, Dr. Mankiewicz is standing up for the freedom that you and I need to preach the gospel. You know, we even have these liberal Protestant leaders. I can give you the names of several of them, but one of the translators of the New Bible, Dr. Grant, has written a book in which he says that the New Testament is an anti-Semitic book. And he proceeds to say that the church should rid the New Testament of these references to the Jews in this way. And he can't understand why the Christian church permits a book like this to be read and to be used in the churches when it speaks like this. No, beloved, the Bible is not an anti-Semitic book. The Bible's the best book that the Jews could ever possibly have. It's the book that tells them of the mercy and the love of God. It's the book that tells them how God called them out that he might have to himself a special and chosen people, and how God promised them a Messiah. And when this Messiah came, the Lord Jesus Christ, there were some who received him, but the great company of them rejected him, and they refused to believe in him. You turn to the book of Acts. I read you this passage from the book of Acts. What did the Apostle Paul do? Whenever he went to a new city, when he went to Thessalonica, when he went to Berea, when he went to any city, he first went into the Jewish synagogue. He himself was a Jew. He'd been a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he took the Old Testament scriptures and openly alleged from the scriptures that Christ was the Messiah. And he preached the gospel in the synagogue. And this immediately caused a division inside the synagogue. And one of two things always happened. Either the synagogue believed and accepted Messiah and became a Christian church in the New Testament, they, or else a minority stepped out and Paul called them out and they established a New Testament church. And as Paul went about turning the world upside down, and he went to these Jewish synagogues and preached Christ to the Jews, then the Jews, in their hatred of him, in their fierce wrath against him, stirred up the opponents and stirred up the opposition and were behind the opposition that Paul faced in Thessalonica and in Berea and these other centers. And now, beloved, as we're facing at the present moment this tremendous attack in the United States upon the Bible, it must be removed from the schools. We can't have these Christmas celebrations anymore at Christmas time. As we have these elements that are pushing this sort of thing down in our country, this pattern follows through with some proposed legislation in Trenton, New Jersey, which will
deal with the hate shakes and the hate grows. And exhibit A of what these people call hate is found in the Bible. That's where it's found. It's found in the New Testament.
Now, I'm expressing myself very firmly on this to you people tonight, but I think we ought to get organized. I think we ought to get our New Jersey Council of Christian Churches that we now have. We've had for some years. We ought to get some committees that will be active. I think we probably ought to organize a separate independent committee of some kind just to oppose this type of legislation and get out and oppose it and explain what's involved in it. Why, in all the years that we've never had anything like this in the state of New Jersey, why is it necessary now to frame legislation that will protect Kennedy and protect the Catholics and protect the Jews and protect the Protestants? I heard this evening that the candidate, one of the Republican candidates, his name is Rockefeller, governor of New York, was denouncing the Goldwater bandwagon affair that's developing that you're all listening to. And Rockefeller said that this was nothing but the lunatic fringe of the radical Republican minority. Now, if I belong to that lunatic fringe, I don't think I'd like to have the governor of New York call me a lunatic. I don't think I would. And here's an attack. Here's a slander against the defenders and the promoters of Barry Goldwater, who's a possible candidate for the Republican nomination. And here's Rockefeller, who's another possible candidate for the Republican nomination. Well, if we're going to get some group libel laws, let's apply them to the governor of New York when he slanders the conservative element that's backing Barry Goldwater. I don't think they're a lunatic fringe. That's what he thinks they are, but I don't think they're a lunatic fringe. And a lot of people don't think they're a lunatic fringe either. But if you called one of the Jewish groups a lunatic group, believe me, they'd sit up and holler. And if you called one of the Negro groups some kind of a lunatic outfit, they'd get up and holler. Well, now the governor of New York has called the folks who are behind Barry Goldwater and pushing him for the president of the United States the lunatic fringe of the radical Republican minority. Isn't that a description? Well, what do we do when we hear things like that? What's the solution to this type of thing? Pay no attention to it. After a while, people won't pay any attention to their falsehoods and their slanders, and it just falls by its own weight, and that's the end of it. And that's the way it's always been in our country up to this present time. Men have made wild charges, and you get into the thick of a political campaign, and believe me, the mudslings and a lot of other things go with it. And after the campaign's over, the fellows who were fighting each other on the Democratic side are lovey-dovey, shaking hands, getting along all right. For the sake of the unity of the party, the two groups all get together again. They forget the things they were saying about each other. And that's been the way this has been operated in years past in this country. But what's happening now? The left wing thinks it's coming into positions of power, and they want some legislation now which they can use as a lever and as a weapon, as an instrument to intimidate and silence their opposition when it comes to these great matters. Now, I see it that way. My thinking along that is clarified because I see what the Bible teaches. And I see where the Bible stands in these particular matters. I want to be able to stand in the state of New Jersey and preach everything that's in the Bible. I want to be able to stand in the state of New Jersey and tell our colored people about us that they need to be saved and that they're sinning when they do this and they're causing a lot of unnecessary disturbance when they go out and cause riot in this country. I'd like to tell some of our colored people that they're not going to get very far. The great rank and file of the American people aren't going to reward a bunch of lawbreakers and rioters by giving them some kind of legislation to quiet them down. They're not going to operate that way. I'd like to be able to hold up these great standards and speak of them. And not only do I want to do it, but I want the other preachers who are coming along after me in the state of New Jersey to have the same privilege. I don't think the situation is going to be changed in our state very much until we get some preachers. I look at the city of Camden day after day as I go through and look around and see how it's degenerating and seeing the crime. And we even got our prosecutor down there wanting somebody to do something about this terrible, filthy literature on our newsstand. What's going to help the city of Camden? The Christian people going in there and starting some churches and evangelizing and working and preaching the gospel. Beloved, we ought to be alive. We ought to be on fire as a people trying to reach those about us with the message of salvation. We ought to be doing it. And the only remedy for the condition that we face here in South Jersey is that we'll have Christian people who will stand up and preach the gospel and stand up to these great issues as they concern our liberty to do so. Now, I don't know who this senator is, but I intend to write him. But the Beacon just came out this week. Dr. Blake, Eugene Carson Blake, arrested, deliberately trespassed on private property, scandalizes churches, provokes protest and indignation, people leaving his church. I wrote a nice editorial about it. But you know what that is? That's hate. That's the way they define it. That's the way they discuss it. Just hate. I'm supposed to be hating Dr. Blake. No, I'm not hating him, but I think he's wrong, and I have a right to say so in this country, and I have a right to point out why he's wrong. And we're reaching a day when men like Dr. Blake and men on the left side go out and they just can't stand the criticism. They can't stand the exposure. So we're going to put some legislation on the books of the state. And the fact that I'm here, and that we're here, and that this ministry, and this church, and this beacon, and this radio, and everything we have is stemming out from Collingswood now to all these different sections around the world, I think this thing is directly related to it. Why, they're not going to come out and say you can't have freedom of speech. Nobody's going to attack you directly. Nobody's going to come out and just say you can't have the free exercise of religion. Nobody would dare do that in our country today. But they'll come at you in a roundabout way. And they'll find a little maneuver, some sort of an action whereby they can get at you. And they're going to the state of New Jersey to pass some legislation against what they call hate literature. And before they get it through the state legislature, we're going to be up there with everything we have to try to stop it. This has gone off the air. My, my. This book. I was going to develop this other thought, but I won't. But do you ever read in the Bible, I hate them with perfect hatred? Who? Whoever got the idea that hatred was something that a man shouldn't have? Whoever got that idea? You just let that rattlesnake sting your little girl and let her die, and I'll guarantee you won't love the rattlesnake. You won't do it. And I read to you tonight this great imprecatory psalm. I read you this psalm tonight because there it is. And here's the cry of a man for just being executed against his enemy. And it's a righteous cry. I'm not going to throw these imprecatory psalms out of the Bible like the modernists do. They say they don't belong in the Bible. Not in accordance with the spirit of love. They're not according to the spirit of Jesus. Yes, beloved, these great imprecatory psalms belong in this Bible because they represent the desire of a man to see justice maintained. That's what they mean. And you and I have a God in heaven who is a just God, and he's going to reward every man according to his deeds. And when you do away with the idea of justice and you brush it off, and you throw out the imprecatory psalms and the teachings of the Bible against the wrath of God that's revealed from heaven, and you get this soft God that loves everybody and requires no cross, no sacrifice, you don't have Christianity. And if you're going to have Christianity, you first have to have a God who's just and who judges sin. And then you have a God who's merciful and provides a substitute for that penalty. And that's what Jesus Christ did when he died upon the cross of Calvary. There's not a thing wrong in the world with you people hating the devil. I hate him myself. I wish he'd leave me alone. There's not a thing wrong with you people hating sin. I hate it. The Bible tells me I must hate sin. Oh, how I'll be happy when the Lord comes and takes us out of it all. And we're no longer in his temptations and spoiled and affected by the effects of sin. I hate sin. I hate the devil. And I say it right here in this pulpit before you people, and Jesus Christ also did the same thing. I hate them with perfect hatred. And that's the statement of the great psalmist as he reflected upon the character of God and upon the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things we should hate. And this idea that you've got some hate literature, and you begin to denounce sin, and you denounce wickedness, you denounce ungodliness, and pour out the teaching of the Bible against it, and they say it's hate literature. Well, maybe it is hate literature, but there's a place for hatred of evil in a society where you have righteousness. And the opposite of the righteous is the wicked, and the opposite of righteousness is iniquity. And my Bible says that you are eschew an evil and love righteousness. Follow after that which is good. My, if we get some ideas of Christianity in the head of some of these legislators up there at Trenton, we wouldn't have this. Now, I don't know who this gentleman is. I don't know who any of these men are. But I've decided that from now on, I've got to pay a little bit more attention as to who's running the state legislature up there. Because when they get over into this area, we have to pay a little attention to it. So let's organize. Let's get busy. Let's write some letters. Let's begin to express ourselves. Do it in a nice, respectful manner, but let's do it. And when they have the hearing, if I'm around and able to do so, I'll just take the Bible up there, make a brief on it, and enter it into the record. And say, now, you got a law that's going to forbid that? Is that what you're putting up in the state of New Jersey? And that'll make a lot of people think two or three times before they do anything about it. But why must the fundamentalists? Why must those of us who stand in the great stream of what we've had in this country sit idly by and permit these forces to gather their strength and to build their citadels, whereby they're going to put their pressures to put us down in the months and in the years that are ahead of us? The answer is, now's the time to do something about it, and to do it because we love the truth and because we love liberty.
Group libel laws, quote, are aimed at hate publications that are being distributed particularly at this time. Hate literature was recently passed at some state colleges, he said. Very often it attacks Jews. President Kennedy and Catholics, former President Eisenhower and Protestants have been subjected to hate literature. I've been too close to these men. I've had too much dealings with them. I've talked to these ecumenical leaders. And you just wait till they get their world church built with its power, and they will deal with the haters as they define them. You know, you always say, oh, the Christians are going to suffer. It's going to be hard for the Christians. And we're moving into difficult days. And you sit back and say, yes, yes, yes. But then when you see one particular point where this thing begins to operate, and you see the pressures of it, that's the time to stand up. That's the time to meet. Before it gets a start, before it gets ahead. And may God give us grace to meet it. All right, let's close the service. Let's turn, please, to hymn number 318 opened mine eyes. 218.
Stand, please, as we sing.
The first and the last stanzas only, please.
Open mine eyes.
Out you go. So we went up there. And the radio man told me himself when I was there, talked to him. He said, Dr. McIntyre, he says, the preachers tried to get the businessmen of the town to cancel their accounts until I took off your program. He said, I only lost two of them, he said. But we went up there. And we decided that we would really organize and do the job the best we could.